you for joining in once again and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm chef and host Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host Aaron Howlett. Join us again as we go on another culinary adventure of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Today we're going to get into food labels. Well, Derek, great to be here recording again. Out behind Seal Bay. Do you know much about food labels?
I think I know the basics. You know, like I can look at a box or a jar and figure out, I don't know, the basic information that they're trying to convey.
Well, there's a ton of information on those boxes, and it's kind of it can get a bit confusing.
Okay.
And most people just don't bother looking or pay any attention to anything on there.
I would agree.
There's two bodies that sort of regulate what's supposed to be labeled, what is legally has to be on there. And mm-hmm. So you have both the, which is the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, and Health Canada, which are the two organizations that are responsible for what you have and what you see and what you can read on there. So there's certain things that have to be on there, like common name of ingredients, net quantities, the date mm-hmm. for how long they're good, grades, qualities, country of origin, and also there has to be the address of the company that either is manufacturing, dealing, or importing it. A nutritional label that has to be in there, which is something we're going to have to get into a little bit more. I think that's more what we're going to zero in with, because I think that's really what the core of the ingredients are.
I think that's where people are lost. I think everybody can look at a label and figure out what all the other information is, but yeah, quite often you look there and you're like, you can see the information and question to yourself, well, what does that mean? And also, why do they feel it's important that I know this?
Yeah. And then the other aspect on the label is marketing.
Yes.
You know, the graphics that catch your eye. Yeah. And then also those little things like fat-free, you know, mm-hmm. high fiber, organic.
Are we going to get into that today? Because that seems like a whole other episode.
We can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
But then I figured we needed help on this.
Yeah.
Because I started reading it and then I went into the Canadian Food Inspection Agency's thing and started going through that. And it's a little bit, see article this one, right, and go back in this. And these ones are exempt and these ones are part of it. And to me, I was just like,
well, not only that, I mean, you and I used to own a business together where we produced food. And just in the car ride over, you mentioned how we maybe not had been making our labels properly. We were, you know, we were bound by everybody else, just like everybody else, where we have to produce food labels. But just the fact that we had been putting the ingredients at random, but we didn't even know that there was a structure to that. Just the order of ingredients means the overall mass of that ingredient.
Yeah. So you got to start with your heaviest ingredients. So if you're doing, like as we were doing with mm-hmm. pasta, it would be our flour.
Right.
And then it would be eggs, salt.
Speaking to that end, obviously, even we as food producers weren't completely clear on what we needed to do on our food labels. So yeah, let's talk to somebody that knows a lot about food labels.
So we brought back actually a previous guest who luckily joined us with the salad bar. Well, Shannon, thank you for coming back in and chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
Good, great. Well, we're happy to be here. We're actually in Shannon's home here in Seal Bay, and it's beautiful and fantastic and perfect place to have a podcast today. Should we just jump right into things?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's go a little bit about your background and
what brings you to the table.
What brings you to the table?
Yeah.
Well, what brings me to the table? Yeah, you know, I am very passionate about food. So my background is in holistic nutrition, but I didn't come by that just, you know, because I was super interested in food at one point in my life. I came by it because I, you know, had my own health concerns at one point, and I'm raising a son that has autism, and so that makes me even more interested in food and how that affects your body and how it affects your brain. For me, reading food labels is really important, especially when you're thinking about things like autism and the chemicals that go into our body and how that affects our brain and behaviors for kids. So, I mean, this podcast could go on for a very long time, so we're going to keep it really specific.
Well, that's why I kind of laughed when I started on this, and that's part of the reason.
Because it's huge, this topic.
We were doing Salad Bar, and you started bringing up all these things, and you're like, I did this topic, and I was like, I was thinking about doing a podcast on labels, but I'm like, this is a little overwhelming. Like, yeah, this is so much information. Even though it's a small little label on your on your food, that it covers so much.
So, I mean, I guess the first thing that I would like to really mention is that really the foods that we want to be focusing a lot on in our diet are the foods that are on the outside of the supermarket. And those are the foods actually that don't require food labels.
Right.
Well, and I thought that was quite funny because I was going through just a list of things. It's like fruits and vegetables don't need lists. Raw meats, raw poultry, raw seafood, and then foods that are prepared in the store. Mm. And usually because they don't have many preservatives and they're just direct right. from
Whole Foods.
Whole right. Foods. And then what else was there? Foods with a few nutrition in them, so like teas and coffees. And the other one is alcoholic beverages. No one's going to read a label on those anyway.
Exactly.
Start back at the beginning. This would break it down to sure. There's about 6 or 7 things. I mean, when you're looking at a food label that, you know, and we'll run through those. So number one is like the serving size. We've got total calories. We want to look at the fiber. We want to look at the sugars in the food, the fats, the sodium, and then finally the minerals. Okay. I think the number one thing that we really want to focus on, and often a lot of the big food companies, when they're putting together these food labels, when they focus on serving size, it can be a little bit tricky. So I brought a few things here. I used to teach a program in the Surrey, through the Surrey schools, okay. With young girls at risk. And one of my programs was called, I called it the sugar program. Mm-hmm. And I used to teach them how to read food labels. So for example, I've got a ginseng drink here, green tea mm-hmm. with honey. And it's all got a lovely design on it. It's very mm-hmm. pretty and looks like this looks pretty healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the food side, at the very top, you're looking at the serving size. So it says per cup, it is, you're going to have 18 grams of sugar, for example. So, okay, well, you think, okay, well, 18 grams of sugar isn't that bad. But if you look at the serving size, it's 695 mils.
So it's nearly 3 cups in that drink.
Exactly. So if you go to figure this out, it mm-hmm. basically works out to be 50 grams of sugar
in that drink.
In this drink.
Right.
So when we're going to go over this in a minute, but when you talk about sugar, I always like to refer to the World Health Organization, which is a standard body of people, scientists, doctors that make educated decisions around health and wellness for us. Mm-hmm. And they say that we should be consuming no more than 30 grams of sugar a day. Right. So this is really more. Good marketing yeah. on serving size. Now, if I want to go over here, and I'm going to look at this Western Family buttermilk pancake mix.
Okay.
So this is great. So it says there's 5 grams of sugar in here, but it says for 1/3 of a cup. Well, I'm sorry. I'm holding a 1/3 cup right now in my hand, and I'm sorry. You're lucky you're going to even get a pancake out of that.
That's incredible. Small size, yeah.
So you're probably going to times this. I don't know for you. I mean, what would you times this by? Like,
I don't eat pancakes.
What?
But if I was forced to sit and eat pancakes, I would probably eat 3 or 4 of them to cover a meal for me.
Let me step in here.
Yeah.
So I'll have about 10 pancakes.
Sure. So if
and that's without maple syrup, right?
That's without the maple syrup. So if you're having 10 of these, so 5 times 10, do the math. Then all of a sudden,
you've got your entire daily sugar before you've put syrup on, and you haven't even gotten out of
or
breakfast
butter.
Yet.
Yeah. Or whatever, right? Yeah. And so this is something to really, the number one thing is the serving size.
Well, that's really interesting too, because I know part of the mandate of this is to have a label that is accurate, truthful, and not misleading.
But that's completely misleading.
I think because that's what they're trying to say. It's like, read your label, and that is the key thing is to find out what are they saying for serving size.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And also, I mean, I don't know if this is much to add to it, but for one that really threw me off when I first took notice probably a couple of years ago was I had a can of condensed soup and I wasn't feeling very well. And so I think it was tomato soup. And then looking at that, it said per serving size. And same thing, I was like, so this little can of condensed soup is actually 2.5 servings. Like, that's like I could drink that in a gulp, like the serving size. But that's where I first was like, what? And then I started looking at serving sizes on other things.
Well, and we can even look here at this yogurt. And yogurt is one thing that I find has a lot of sugar in it. Mm-hmm. And so you've got here 175 grams, which equals a half a cup.
Okay.
So half a cup isn't really that much.
No,
no.
Like really, I mean, have a half a cup right here.
Right.
Look at that. That's very small. That's
a couple of heaping teaspoons.
Right. So yeah. You've got 23 grams of sugar just in that.
Wow.
23 grams of sugar. If you're looking back to the World Health Organization, again, looking at 30 grams of sugar, you've almost got your daily intake of sugar just in that. It adds up really fast. So that's why it's really important to pay attention. And again, being mindful that if you're a very active person, you're going doing lots of sports, you can have more sugar right. in your diet. But again, these are the reasons why we need to focus on serving size. So the second thing that we look at is the calories. And this can be a bit confusing too, because for example, foods like avocados or nuts and seeds, like if you're buying a bag of nuts and seeds, right. you're going to see calories that are really high. And you're going to be like, right. what? That's right. like, I can't eat that.
That's too much for me.
It's too much. But it's a whole food. You know, if you're going to eat those in moderation, there is a dense nutrients in there.
Right.
And so this is another topic we could go off on in another day. You know, there's a lot of people paying attention to calories and they're marking their calories. And again, these food labels are all based on the 2000 calorie diet, which is basically an average for calories right. allowable for per person.
Right.
And so it's great to be mindful of your calories, but if you're eating empty calories
right.
that are not from whole foods, you can still consume your daily intake of 2000 calories. But your body still be absolutely starving because right. it's not getting the nutrients it needs. And this is where we can get
something that I found or that sort of made my head wrap around things was all the caloric information. I was like, how do they come up with that? How does that get determined? How is that found? And from my understanding, and I don't know if it's across the board, but in some ways, it's actually literally measured by burning off the food and seeing what energy is expended off it or what have you. Like that's how they mark it or measure it and then give it a value. But that does nothing to speak to is the thing that that has this caloric value. Is it healthy for you or unhealthy right. for you? It doesn't measure that in any way.
Right. And that's interesting because now it's actually, we can speak to the fact that a lot of people are getting most of their daily calories mm-hmm. just in beverages. And so like even at Starbucks, for example, if yeah. you go in and you get yourself a chai latte, it's 43 grams of sugar just in that chai latte.
You know, it wasn't until I was talking to you and you were bringing up the World Organization's amount. And I was thinking about it, my coffee. Like mm-hmm. I have a little cream and sugar in my coffee every day. And I'm like, that's my limit right there. Like
yeah,
It adds up really fast. So
right.
again, the next thing that we want to move down and talk to about our food labels is our fiber. And so we really want our fiber to be like 5 and over.
Okay.
And if your foods, like for example, I've got a box of Cheerios here.
Yeah.
And so the fiber on here is only 2 grams.
Right.
So that's pretty low.
When you say 5, do you mean 5 grams per serving then? Is that
yeah,
what you're looking for?
Yeah. Okay. So, and again, if you're eating your whole foods,
it's quite easy
to get your, right. your fiber, whether it's your vegetables or your fruits. It's quite easy to get that fiber into your body. And fiber is really important because it really helps with your digestive health. Mm-hmm. And it's really important. It keeps your blood sugar level stabilize after you've eaten, and it also keeps your body satiated for longer, so you're not going back for more.
Right.
So again, super important that we really be mindful of the fiber. So that's something that you want to look for on your food labels and try to keep the fiber 5 and plus.
Okay.
Sugar. So that's the next things that we want to look at. So I think sugar is something that, is becoming more and more talked about. again, when we talk about the World Health Organization, and when I say that we're having more than 30 grams of sugar a day, your body's in a constant state of inflammation. So what does inflammation mean? Well, inflammation is the cause of all chronic disease. And so, and when we say chronic disease, we're talking about diabetes, cancer, heart disease, all those things. And so we've never in all history of mankind consumed so much sugar and been so sedentary as well. So it's kind of like a twofold thing. So it's really important that we're being mindful about how much sugar that we're getting. And it's so easy to drink that sugar too, right?
Well, it's funny because we're naturally attracted to sweetness. Like that is, and it's kind of a primal instinct to, because we know that those foods are higher in energy for us. And so it's a positive thing. And I think a lot of food producers have gone, because they know that, and I'm not saying that they're this evil group is throwing in more sugar, but they know that if they have the sweet product, that we're more attracted to it, and we want to have it more often. So it's like a drug, right?
It is, and it is, it absolutely is a drug. When you look at, they've done a lot of studies even around the different, when you're looking at cocaine and sugar, and actually the two exact same parts of the brain light up, whether it's cocaine or whether it's sugar. So it's just showing you how addictive sugar is and how that plays into the food scientists that are creating these processed packaged foods. And there's actually some marketing that goes into that on really wanting you to come back and buy their product again, right? So
I thought it's interesting too, just for ingredients and going through what's in there, like for item wise. Anything with oats, like sucrose, all those, you can basically, if you see that on the ingredients list, that is sugar.
Well, and there is, I think there's 75 different ways of saying sugar. I mean, there like there's corn syrup, there's fructose, there's there is so many ways to say lactose. Sugar, but they can, and that's the tricky part, because even when you read a food label, the ingredients, so often they will have, so they have sugar here, and then they've got honey, and then they've got golden syrup, and then they've got corn syrup. So just in this food label, they've listed sugar four times.
That's crazy.
All they've done is changed the name of sugar, but it's still sugar, and it still affects your body and your brain the exact same way.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it's nice to have the food label on there, because now you can look and it says, hey, there's, you know, like this tomato sauce, there's 1 gram of sugar in here. Instead of going through that ingredient list.
Jumping back to that cereal as well, not many people eat cereal without milk. And you have to also factor in that the fact that the milk has sugar.
Okay, so now you got me really started. This is my favorite one, what I used to do the kids.
Very long podcast. We apologize now.
Okay, so you're looking at your box of Cheerios. So you got 3/4 of a cup. I'm sorry, but if you're going to eat some cereal in the morning, 3/4 of a cup, like where this
my
is.
My son has at least 3 of those, 3 times that much.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so now 3/4 of a cup, so you got 9 grams of sugar. So if, say we're going to times it by 3, that's your 30 grams.
Yep.
Let's average out. So you have 30 grams of sugar in your cereal. So now you're going to put a cup of milk in there, and that is right there another 12 grams of sugar.
Right.
So now you're at 42 grams of sugar just in a bowl of cereal. To start your day. And then maybe you're going to have a cup of orange juice. So let's grab the Sunripe orange juice here. Okay. And we're going to look at that. And so let me look here. So we've got 250 mils, which is a cup. And so, now we got another 29 grams of sugar. So
my God.
So it adds up fast. So 30 and 40, do the math. That's a lot of sugar just to start your day, right?
That's incredible.
So, and then you wonder why sometimes kids are going to school and they're sitting at their desk and they're not able to focus and concentrate.
I'm kind of wondering why I'm sometimes sitting at my computer trying to do a podcast.
No more sugar. Crazy. And then, I mean, and then you got to think of what else you're putting in your kid's lunch that's also full of sugar. That so they're just going from sugar high to sugar high throughout the day.
There's so many things we can talk about. So let's move on to our fats. Again, fats, there's 3. Like really, there's your avocados and your nuts and your seeds. And that is your unsaturated fats.
Right.
And then you've got your saturated fats, which a lot of people were like, poo-poo, they're not good for you. But again, in moderation, your butter, lean, red meat, your steaks.
I listened to a study about how saturated and unsaturated fats, and they did a clinical test.
Yeah.
And they were trying to, and the guy who did it was very into saturated fats will kill you. They're the worst thing ever. And they did the study, and they were all people that were in institutions, and they were given strict saturated, unsaturated meals every day. Mm-hmm. And it was very well documented in a couple of different institutions. And they had no proof of one being better or worse for you.
I think that it's, as with everything else that we're seeing here, it's the source. It's the source of the saturated or unsaturated fat that may be what causes the different problems, or the source of the lean fats or what have you.
Yeah.
If you're eating...
And not that we're saying go out and eat just one of each.
No.
It's a balance in moderation.
Right. I think saturated fats, I mean, everything needs to be in moderation.
Yes.
I mean, that, and that's what everything comes down to, moderation. Mm-hmm. And I like to talk to about like happy meat. And a lot of people ask me, okay, well, what's happy meat? I mean, we're quite blessed living in the Comox Valley here,
right,
where we have access to some beautiful pasture-raised meats, everything from, you know, lambs to chickens and our beef and everything.
Absolutely.
That
bison.
I mean, there's so many amazing things that we have access to. So, you know, those are not going to be, I mean, one thing, they're raised ethically, and they don't run around having a lot of stress hormones in their body, and they don't have a lot of injected things into their meat as well, which of course, right, once that is butchered, then it goes into us, whether we, right, like it to believe that or not. So I just think we need to focus on everything in moderation. And I guess finally, the other thing is the trans fats. And I really think that we should focus on, if the label has trans fats on it, my suggestion is just to really put it back.
Yeah.
I mean, really... Yeah. Of course, we do have the 80-20 rule. Our body does have a liver for a reason. Mm-hmm. That's not to say we can't go to a barbecue or birthday party and enjoy some foods that are maybe not on our diet regularly. But
right,
I just think that, you know, the trans fats are really highly linked to, you know, hardening of the arteries and heart issues. So we just want to kind of avoid those if we can. So then moving down, we got the sodium.
Right.
So I brought out the tomato here, and if you want to look, you can read on there, what is the sodium content on there?
Where are we looking? Sodium, we got 18%, so 430 milligrams.
It's a lot of sodium.
That's
so
a lot.
Right? Yeah. And this is in an organic tomato sauce, right? So, yeah, organic is great, but again, that's doesn't mean that the sodium isn't high. So, I mean,
that's
often
for half cup.
Yeah, that's for half cup, right?
Wow.
See, Darren knows how to read a food label now. Like all of a sudden it's like, that's something we should add in there. That's
so
not just,
it's not just this whole thing. So I don't know how many cups would be in here, maybe three?
Yeah.
About three cups. So you're gonna take that, what is it, 430 milligrams and times it by three.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Yes.
So if you're taking whole tomato, like for example, I mean, you're gonna cut, so I think when I looked it up, I was doing some research this morning, and it was saying like a can of tomatoes, like your just regular standard can, has got 160 milligrams of sodium in it. And then your just whole tomatoes, like a bunch of whole tomatoes, only has six milligrams of sodium in it. Because sodium's naturally in our fruits and vegetables, but again, what a massive difference, 160 to 6.
Yeah. That's
so again, really going back to, we really want to try and focus on keeping as many whole, real foods in our diet as much as we can.
So I think really, I'm getting ahead of us a bit, but I think honestly, like, it's finding the ingredients that don't have food labels in your grocery store is really what you want to be consuming or spending the time, other than it is extra work.
It is absolutely extra work. And when we're on the fly, you know, it's really hard. But I mean, if you can try and pick foods that have maybe five ingredients or less, I mean, the one thing that I want to go back to is really when you're starting to see those things on the food label that you can't pronounce, you know, all those wonderful Latin names,
yes,
like maltodextrin and stuff like that. I mean, you really want to think back to your great grandmother, and I'm sure your great grandmother made you something delicious at one point in your life, whether it's her meat pie or her, you know, apple pie or whatever. And, you know, really, is great grandma going to be putting maltodextrin in your food? So if it's something that is hard to pronounce, you don't know what the heck it is, you probably don't want to be buying that item again. And so what the scary thing is when you go out there and you start reading on the food labels, like here's, for example, you know, I'm a big advocate for organic. That's just, I know not everybody can afford to buy organic. But if we can, it's great. There are certain foods that I actually absolutely will not purchase unless it is organic, and that is, you can look online, it's called the Dirty Dozen.
I was just going to say, there's 12 foods that I have a little list of at home.
Yeah, so so there's the Dirty Dozen, and there's also the Clean 15. So I just keep that in my wallet, and so when I go grocery shopping, you can look at that. So I picked up some chickpeas here. And so this is an organic chickpeas, for example. And all, this is a bean medley, sorry.
Okay.
And the only thing in here is the different varieties of beans. Well, if you look at this, which is non-organic, you can go down to the ingredients and it has the chickpeas. It has water, it has salt, and then it has disodium EDTA. And this is like, why does that need to be in there? It's just like, so the other amazing resource when I was going to school I learned about, which was awesome, was the Environmental Working Group. So I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's the, if you go online, type in Environmental Working Group, and then it comes up Skin Deep. And you can actually go on there and type in any of these funky words that you don't know what are.
Oh, perfect.
And it gives you a rating from 1 to 10. So often, I can't remember why, I think this EDTA was listed as a 1, but it's interesting, like it'll give you all your food colorings and all that stuff. It was originally sort of brought on for skin products, like, because of course skin is our biggest organ. And but it does have, you can plug in a lot of different things for your foods and then also your cleaning products. So it's a great resource if you're starting to get curious and you've got something in your house and you're like, I wonder what that is.
I really like this. It's one of those, I really like this product, but I don't know what that is. Maybe I should check it out.
Then if it jumps up as a number 7, it's like, oh, maybe I don't want to be having that.
Right.
So I guess the last thing that we want to look at is the vitamins and the minerals.
That's a huge list.
It is. And, you know, again, so really we don't really want to be focusing on getting our vitamins and minerals from a processed package.
Right.
Because often those vitamins and minerals are taken and put back into the food. And so that's fortified. And so because it's fortified, it's not actually real. And because it's not actually real, our body actually has a hard time assimilating it. And even at a double negative, sometimes when the food isn't recognizable, our body will actually leach nutrients from our bones to break down nutrients that taken into our body.
You know, this is probably one of the biggest things I took from my cooking school when I went there, and it was our instructors just like, you know, like I think he was just, there's so much processed food, and he could just see the whole thing of training up chefs to get into this wheel of doing mass production of food. And I think he was looking at going more natural. And he says, it's so funny that like this weight, like obesity was a huge issue around then too. And he was like, it bothers me that like they say lard is horrible. He's like, I grew up in France and we used to run around with like a stick with lard was my favorite thing. We'd spread it on bread and it was like the best thing in the world. And no one was obese and no one was fat. He's like, but I look at these processed foods that we're bringing in and these new, he was very big on, you know, saying like sugars and all this stuff is like, it's not good for us. And our body doesn't know how to process it.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's not natural. So if you take these how long have humans been around for?
Yeah.
And we've been eating these natural foods all this time, and our bodies know how to break it down properly, and they know what to get from it.
And they're like fatty foods and sugary foods, but coming from natural sources.
Yeah. But then now we've got into a processed food where we have these, and he was very big on the against the trans fats, because it was like, that's a non-natural fat.
It's totally chemically changed.
And your body, literally, it comes into your body and your body goes, I don't know what this is.
Yeah. Like,
why is this in me?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I don't know what to do with it, so I'll stick it against this.
And not only that, too, I mean, it can't, like, I think the other issue, too, is our practices of how we're raising our food. I mean, I think that that's also something that's changed in the last, you know, since the dawn of humanity to, say, the last 50 years, as all of a sudden, it's not just that we've introduced all these false foods, but we've also taken the way that we grew natural foods and kind of perverted it. And it's not a, like, you know, now we're paying it. It's not a penance thing. It's that unnatural way of growing that food isn't allowing for possibly, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I can only imagine that it's not either A, allowing things to bloom to their full potential, or B, it's inhibiting things because we're throwing so many other things at it to keep it controlled.
Yeah. Right.
And I think we do a mistake of trying to, we've gotten away from making food to be taste good.
Mm.
We've gotten to a system of making food that'll last long.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, let's see how long we can get a
shelf life
on your product.
Yeah.
And let's see how much we can get in there and we can, you know, how long will this product be good for?
Yeah. And it all comes really down to a profit.
Yeah.
In the end, for the food industries. And there, it was interesting. I mean, you just spoke about the way our food is being raised. And I'm sure you've heard of Michael Pollan, an amazing man. He has a documentary called Cooked.
Right.
And he travels all over the world and looks at all the different kinds of food that's made with love from scratch and really getting back to that. But what I also heard you talking a little bit about too was genetically modified food.
Right.
Without
saying the words, that's definitely one of the, I think, the issues are right now for sure.
Yeah, sorry, just sort of sidetracked there.
No,
but
I mean, whatever, I think that we're talking about nutrition and it's just, and I don't know, I think that that falls within. I mean, we can go
absolutely
off on tangents.
Yeah. The only other thing I would go back to when we spoke to fats, and I know we talked about this early, was this whole fat free craze.
Right.
And I think we're kind of coming out of that now because people are really starting to realize, and actually, maybe not everybody. I know that the older generations are still in that fat-free.
There's some diehards that are still the old food pyramid that are like, I need this amount of this amount of this, and this amount of this.
Right. And so the fat-free has basically, they take the fat out and they put the sugar in.
Right.
So yeah, it's maybe lower in fat, but guess what? It's really high in sugar, and sugar is, you know, really bad for you.
Right.
And fat actually is not that bad for you. Like, especially if it's like coming from nuts and seeds and avocado and fish and eggs and all those whole foods.
Right.
And that was one of the things that really, part of my What's on Your Plate program that I taught with the girls in the Surrey School Board, was this really misconception around fat.
Yeah.
The idea that fat is not good for you.
Right. So, I don't want to get too far into it either. It's probably a bit of a deviation on my part, but that's the one thing, like, I always have an issue when people feed their children all fat-free or non-fat foods, and, you know, children are, they're growing and they have developing organs, and their bodies are craving fats at that point.
Yeah,
like, well, mother's milk has fat. Like, there's a reason for that. That child, that infant needs fat to grow.
Yeah, well, our brain is mostly made up of fat.
Right, exactly. So depriving, taking all these fat-free foods and giving them to your kids, you're asking for problems to develop.
Yeah.
I gotta bring up our own Blaine Prowse, who started the podcast with me. When he started the podcast, he got onto a paleo diet.
Mm.
And so it was really focus on this paleo diet, and he stripped all that sugar, all that out of his diet, and he really focused on healthy meats and vegetables and fats.
Right.
And he went crazy and he lost weight. He looked great. He slimmed down thinner than me.
Right.
And, you know, he was riding his bike every day and he had joint pains and his joint pains went away. Like he couldn't, he was having problems at work bending down and picking up things because it was hurting his knees.
But by eliminating sugar and...
6 months to a year into this paleo, he was fine and riding his bike to work every day. I was like... astonished that just that much of a change in the diet, and he had that heavy low fat, was everything was low fat, everything was that in his pantry, and he switched it around and it was amazing to see.
And and I think the takeaway here isn't necessarily that you should follow a specific adherence to a diet or what have you. I think the idea is just, you know, if you're somebody that's concerned about your health, or if you're somebody that's concerned about maybe you have a chronic pain of some sort, this is easily one way to address it. This is something you started looking at what you're eating and what you're buying.
Whole foods.
Absolutely.
I'm a true believer that food is medicine. I use food as medicine. I mean, I even have it up on my wall. I mean, it's my absolute go-to every day. We eat 3 meals a day and we're eating 2 snacks a day often. And that, the choices that you make, that you put in your mouth, that is your fuel. And not only does it affect your body, but it affects your brain.
Right.
And, you know, so I think it's something that we're moving more and more towards now. I think we're just becoming more aware of just sort of going back to the way a grandmother used to cook, which is pretty exciting. There's lots of great documentaries out there. Lots of great documentaries. One specifically on sugar, which is amazing, called Fed Up. And then there's also Hungry for Change, Forks Over Knives. I have these all listed on my blog. So if you just want to go to Shannon's Toolbox, if you just go into Google and just type in Shannon's Toolbox, and it's broken down into autism, cancer, and then healthy home, and then parenting, all things that I'm quite passionate about.
Right.
So you can find a lot of the resources and some great books. And Mike Adams also has a great book. It's called Health Ranger 99 Rules for Reading Food Products and Food Labels. So it really focuses on, again, whole foods and the real breakdown of all of the sort of nutrients that maybe we don't want to be putting into our body. So he's done a really great job in this book. So
that's great. Well, thank you. I mean, I think that that's like a ton of information, or at least it's the beginnings of a lot of information. You sort of tackled a whole bunch of topics here within the same thing, the label.
It's funny because it's quite a small label on there when you go through serving size, calories, fat, cholesterol, you know, sodium, fat, sugar, all that, and your vitamins on there. Like it's not much, but it's really, we could literally do a podcast on each one of those.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only that, but I mean, we could go into an entire episode based on why does the government feel, because this is a government mandated label, I'm not just throwing, you know, shade at the government, but why do they feel that these are the things that we need to be focusing on? I'm not saying the right, I'm not saying the wrong, I'm just saying what gives these things precedent and why are other things left out? Like, I mean, I would love to know more about that, but maybe that can be, I don't know, maybe that can be a separate time. We talk about, you know, what the focus is here. What are they trying to cut across?
So, I mean, really, I think it comes down to you just don't want to eat real food. You don't want to eat not too much and mostly plants, which is what Michael Pollan talks about. Just really focusing on staying on that outside of the grocery and store and really focusing on the foods that don't necessarily have food labels. And then when we do need to eat food that have food labels, just try to be mindful if there is more than 5 ingredients or ingredients that we don't recognize, we might want to just think twice and...
Right.
Yeah.
And it's always a good conversation, and it's nice to cook those meals with friends and family.
Absolutely.
And be able to join that, as you like to say, community, right?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think that's my favorite thing, like going back to Salabar. I mean, we just get together every Tuesday morning and we take whole food and we put it together. And, you know, yesterday we served 200 kids, and It was just so much fun, and the kids are so proud to have this real food, and it does. It just creates this great community and excitement. It's just a really exciting thing.
And those are all healthy foods on that buffet.
Yeah.
And there's very little sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm always impressed what the kids eat and what they go through. So.
Yeah. And it's made with love, right?
Which adds an extra taste to it almost.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's great. Thank you so much for sharing everything with us today. And I'm sure that we'll be coming back to you with our next nutrition question or the next episode that we need some nutritional expertise. I know that we're going to be coming back to Shen.
Just to come out here and just sit next to Seal Bay Park. The beauty of this area is worth it right there. But yeah, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us. And I'm guessing we will definitely have you back again because I know you have lots of knowledge and lots of things about nutrition we can definitely talk to. And I know our listeners would be very interested in. So
awesome. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks. If we haven't covered something here that, you know, please get in touch with us. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us in a lot of places.
We always love to hear feedback from our listeners, and especially from you, just for you to give us a little 2 cents of how you feel about the podcast, what you'd like to see.
Maybe something we missed that we didn't cover that you want more details on.
Yeah, because I'd like just to say if there's anyone out there that is doing this currently or is about to get into this or know someone who's doing one of these few things, we would love to talk to you. So I'm looking for anyone who's in a restaurant, who's opening up a new restaurant and getting going.
Yeah.
New caterers out there. I know people always get into catering.
Yeah.
It always moves on to something else, but it's really nice to meet up with these people and find out what they're offering and what they can give to people. New producers, which is always great because there's been so many wonderful people that we've run into in this time that have grown their businesses, and it's really neat to see them start off from just really small things and how they progress. And we'd like to know their story of how they got into it. And don't forget farmers.
Yeah.
Nothing better than knowing the people that are working with the lands, or even in our case, in the water.
Yeah.
Those farmers out there, we'd love to talk to you. And of course, we're always into new events. There's so much happening in this community with that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that we never get a chance to talk about. And then, of course, if you're a food group or a foodie just in general, we'd love to talk to you and find out what some of your favorite foods are.
Yeah, even if you do, like, you know, those sort of foodie dinner groups, we would love to talk to you. Like, want to know about your dinner groups and get some ideas, get some talking going about what's going on out there in the smaller venues, not just the big venues.
And of course, we're putting up some recipes, some audio recipes for people to follow along. So if you're interested in any of that, we've got that all here at the Edible Valley Podcast.
Thanks to everybody that's helped us get here so far, all of our sponsors. As you know, with us stepping out and taking this in that new, more liberating direction, we are looking for new sponsors. We're a new sort of show with a new direction. So it's time to start anew. And we would love to get out there and talk to you or discuss anything further if you want to be a part of the show.
If you could just send us an email at theedibleValley@gmail.com. You can get us at Twitter at Edible Valley, Facebook at the Edible Valley Podcast. And once again, remember, keep it fresh, keep it flavorful, and keep it fun. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.